Welcome back to Let's Talk HCS. I'm Justin Robertson, Superintendent, Hamilton County Schools. I'm really excited about this episode. So when we talk about school, we talk about academic press and personalization. We'll get to academic press later, and I know that sounds odd that we would go straight to personalization, but we really feel like personalization is the foundation of what creates academic success. And so we're going to start talking about what it means for us to create connections for kids, to create environments where they feel a sense of belonging and that they're valued. We're going to hear from school leaders at Clifton Hills Elementary and Hixson High School, schools that are investing time in personalization and where we see great academic outcomes as a result. Afterwards, we're going to have a discussion with our school board chair, Joe Smith, and our vice chair, Fritza Mosley-Jones, about why this is something we believe is important for students in Hamilton County. As we go right into this, we wanted to come to a place that I believe has really lived by this mantra for a really long time. And so we're here at Clifton Hills Elementary that has really led the way in personalization for kids, and it's been under the leadership of Lindsay Starnes. Lindsay, you've been here how long now?
9 years.
9 years. 9 years. Clifton Hills is a very different place now than it was 9 years ago. Talk to us a little bit about your 9 years and maybe introduce who you've got with us. Yeah.
So I've got Rachel Shuford. She's a fourth grade teacher, and I've got Sarah Mason, who's a third grade teacher. They're here to help today, but they do a really good job with the personalization aspect in their classrooms, and so I brought them along today. But yeah, this makes my 9th year at Clifton Hills. And when I first started at Clifton Hills, I was actually a teacher here from 2004. Right. Yep. Yeah, from 2004 to 2007, it was really different. Then just the demographics have completely changed in that time period. But 9 years ago, 2017, you and Jill Levine offered me the job. And so I remember getting a letter from the education commissioner basically saying Clifton Hills was one of the lowest performing schools in the state. So we had a lot of work to do at that time. We have been a priority school. We've been an ATSI school. But we've also gotten off the priority list, have been a level 5 school several years. And so I think it really just goes back to that personalization that was really my purpose in getting started here at Clifton Hills. My mentor, Sonia Goss, at the time, was basically like, you've got to get the climate and culture right first before you can worry about academics. And we started with the house system 9 years ago. I had gone to Ron Clark previously, and I knew that's something that I wanted to start. So I know several schools in Hamilton County use the house system, but I think we were the first in Hamilton County to start the house system.
It's become like more people are doing it, but yeah. What is the house system?
Yeah,
about?
I'll let y'all explain.
Okay, yeah. So every student is placed into a house, like they spin a wheel. We only had 4 houses, and our school has grown so much, we now have 6 houses. And it kind of makes just a smaller community inside of a big community. They have their own house colors. They have their house mascot. They have a teacher on each team that is a representative of that house. So those students that aren't necessarily in your classroom will come to your room like once a month, and you'll celebrate being a house. And the students can earn points based on our Cubs commitment on our rules. And if they're working hard, they're doing what they need to be doing, they can earn points. And whoever gets the most points can do a house party at the end of the month.
And they're K-5, right? Like mm-hmm. houses.
Yes.
What about the connections that creates for kids together?
Yeah, I think we started it, specific grade levels were houses, but then we thought, this could be really powerful if we mix kids and even let some of the older kids be mentors to the younger kids. And so that's really, it seems like every year it gets better and better, or like every year it's like, oh, let's change this, or let's change this. So yeah, I think we started doing it, specific grade levels, but that's evolved over time to where now it's like a mentorship and getting to know people. that aren't just necessarily your grade level teachers.
Yeah, and it also allows teachers to know each other. And I think that's part of it is we have a great culture between teachers here. And it's not just incentives. Kids enjoy it and the teachers enjoy it. Like, we look forward to pep rallies and we all have our gear and we're excited. And the kids see us excited and they see us interacting with other people in the school that we don't typically interact with. And so that's a model for them of how to treat each other as well.
Little competition there.
Yeah.
The teachers are very competitive, very competitive. So when it's pep rally day, like, everybody's all decked out and... because they earn awards for pep rally day. So I've given away like observation passes and they get really.
Yeah.
It's really just, we also get a sticker outside of our door that says like Spirit Award. And so even having that sticker, I mean, that really is some motivation.
It is.
So one thing that you said, and I don't want to skip over it because I'll forget if I don't get right back to this. Got a letter from the state.
Yeah.
Right when you got here, you went through all the things, which for listeners, you know, those are different levels of basically state intervention, right? And it's about academic performance, not where we need to be. Clifton Hills is no longer on
any list.
But what we always talk about with schools is like improving achievement, right? Or kids actually hitting the standard,
right?
And then pairing that with growth,
yeah.
Which Clifton Hills consistently over the past 3 to 5 years has shown both.
Uh-huh.
Does personalization play a part of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I learned something when I went to grad school is like one of the professors said you've got to have like one eye on academic achievement. You've got to have one eye on personalization. Like, they can't exist without the other. You can't like favor one more than the other. It's got to be equitable. And so I think, you know, having that personalization first where everybody, you know, feels like they're a part, you're establishing a culture leads to having a culture of high expectations. And so I think it's just being really clear in everything that we do. Yes, we want to personalize school for kids, but we also want to hold kids to high expectations. I think one of the things when I first started as a principal that I said to every teacher is like, when I go into classrooms, I think about my kids. Like, would I put my kid, Lauren William, in your class? And if I would not put Lauren William in this class, then this is not the place
Good
for
enough.
You. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, I brought William here to Clifton Hills because what I saw in the classrooms, like, it was rigorous. It was high expectations. It's what I wanted for him. And he thrived here. I mean, the teachers were probably like, oh, I can't wait till he leaves. But, you know, he had a great experience here. And so I think that's just having high expectations of, like, what are we providing kids with? What opportunities? But it also goes back to academics. Like, we want kids to be successful. You know, we want them to be productive citizens. And so that's where it goes hand in hand. You've got to have the right culture, but you've also got to have, you know, the academics piece to go with it in order to meet those goals.
And I think when you have the right culture, it makes you want to have high expectations. When you know and love each kid individually, you want the best for them. And so then you want to push them and you know what they can do. Whereas if you're missing that piece, then you may not know, oh, this student can achieve more and you won't push them for more.
I think a huge thing, too, that Starnes has done is just created such a good culture with staff. So a lot of the staff here has been here. Like, this is my 8th year here. This is your 5th year here. So I've worked with all these people for a long time, and we care deeply. So that adds to personalization here, too. Like, we know these kids from other grades. We know our friends taught them first grade. We know our friend taught them 3rd grade. So I think that adds a lot to it, that teachers want to stay here because we have such good leadership, too.
Do you feel pressure, though, in the classroom? Like, I hear this a lot from people in the public to be like, you know, y'all been on the list or not on the list anymore. Pressure to skip over the personalization and go right to the academics?
No. It's the fun part of teaching for me. And it's, like, what makes teaching worth it. And I'm someone that you hear a lot of negative things about education. And I always tell people I don't agree with a lot of it because I really love my job. That's why I'm doing my job. Is because I love it. Sorry. It's time.
Real time.
It's time to do content.
No, I agree. And we do crew here every morning, like morning meetings. And it's so important, especially with students from different backgrounds. Like, it doesn't matter what your first language was, where you're from, or who you are. This is like the class that you're going to be learning with all year. And you have to be able to talk to everybody, and you have to be able to learn from everybody. So that's what we're doing right now at the start of the year. Like, during morning meeting, you're going to say good morning to everyone and maybe find someone you don't normally talk to and ask them about their weekend, so that when, you know, a few months from now we're having them doing like major academic discourse, it doesn't matter if it's two kids that don't necessarily play on the playground, they'll still talk to each other. And that's important.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I was in Schuford's classroom the other day, and they had a beach ball. And they were, you know, they had just switched classes because she's departmentalized. So this was a new class coming in. And so they were playing this game. It was like the name game, you know, because we've got several new kids this year and kids that are mixed up that haven't been in class with each other. So taking that time, you know, to learn and identify people's name and to speak to them, like, that's the expectation. Like, we speak to everybody. So.
And I also think it helps them get to know the teacher. I think that's an important part of it, is like, we want to know them, but I also want them to know me. Yeah. And I think that helps them feel comfortable to then, when we get to the academic discourse, they're only going to talk to me if they trust me.
Yeah. That's good. One of the things that y'all will remember this, about 2 years ago, we started talking about the building at Clifton Hills. And, you know, at that point, we were talking about adding on to East Side, adding on to East Lake, closing it. And you guys have talked about relationships with kids, the staff relationships, which obviously we saw that come through in that conversation. But when we brought that to the community, one thing that I noticed is how deep the roots are with Clifton Hills and your families, specifically your Latino families. Yeah. The trust is there. The care is there. That doesn't just happen. There's got to be some intentionality. Like, what have y'all done to build those community relationships?
I think, you know, we look at data. So one of the data points that we looked at over the years was like chronic absenteeism. And really thinking about, like, how do we improve chronic absenteeism? And so I know we're talking about families. So one of the things that, you know, I told the ILT team is like, think outside the box. You know, we've got this strategic funding and we can use it to meet the needs of the school. So I'm like, what are the barriers for families? So we really try to identify, what are the barriers for our families? What do they need? How can school be sort of like a one-stop shop? It's not just school. Like, how can we support families? Because we know if families are supported, then kids will be supported. So we talked about, one of the things was like, I wonder if we could provide a nurse practitioner. Because a lot of our kids did not have health insurance. And so just common childhood illnesses like strep throat, ear infection, they would miss 5 days because they would not go to the doctor just due to health insurance. And, you know, so we talked about, you know, what would that be possible? And you said to think outside the box. And so when we brought it, you were like, let's do it. So we worked out a partnership where Hamilton County is paying for the nurse salary that they would normally pay for, but then we're using strategic funds for a nurse practitioner to pay for that additional cost. And so, you know, kids this morning, families coming in the door, so-and-so was running a fever over the weekend. Can we have the nurse check them out? And so families just feel comfortable coming to the school, like, we are going to help you here. So that's been huge. Adding the nurse practitioner, like, our chronic absenteeism has decreased tremendously. And that's a really hard number to move. But it's decreased tremendously over the year and a half that we've had the nurse practitioner. We also have a great social worker that also speaks Spanish. And so families, if they have a need, they come to the school. And that's because they know that we love them, we love their kids, and we will do anything that we can to try to help them. So I think that plays a huge role in that trust, just with families, just trying to meet their needs here at the school.
I agree. It's a safe place, and they know many adults in the building. Like, it's not just that they know me. They know our admin. They know our nurse. They know the social worker, and I think that makes a difference.
In the 5 to 8 years y'all have been here, have you seen it improve? And why would you say it's improved?
We do a lot of like after school activity nights too that are catered for, like, what was it, Hispanic Heritage Month, and we invite families in and we provide dinner, and I mean, we'll see a huge turnout for those. And a lot of times too, you know, their siblings will go through it. So you have some of the same parents that you've had in the past because of their siblings coming through. And so you just kind of get to know them. And we're so thankful for our translators here too that are, work so well with these families and help the teachers so much when it comes to communication.
Yeah, I think if I had this one family that I had both the sons, and in one of the parent-teacher conferences with the second one, he got emotional and started crying. He was like, I'm so happy they're safe and they're learning. And we had seen a lot of growth in one of the sons. And so, like, that has stuck with me. And it's, like, made me want that piece of personalization now because it meant so much.
And it's also, like, a community effort, you know, when we have these nights. And, again, I think a lot of times we try not to focus on, oh, this is math night, this is ELA night, or this is reading night or science night. But really ask the parents, like, what do you need? We've had... you know, sessions on Tech Goes Home, but it was just in Spanish, you know, for access to technology, because we find a lot of times, like, coming to register, emails and things like that, it makes it difficult. So we really just try to ask parents, like, what do you need? How can we provide that? And it's not necessarily just school-based, it's community organizations that help.
Teacher yard sale a couple of years ago too.
Oh yeah.
Teachers brought in things that, I mean, they're going to take to Goodwill anyways, and we did it in the gym, and the turnout was crazy, more than you ever expect. And it was fun because it wasn't just the parents, like, high schoolers were looking through things, and I remember there was a high school girl and she was so excited about it. Was like a shirt of one of my teammates, and it's just, it was fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you guys for joining us. What I will say about Clifton Hills is it's unique in its journey of going from a school that literally was pretty close to state takeover.
Yeah.
And within, you know, a 5 to 7 year period now is not on any list that you're thriving academically. But more importantly, what we're talking about today is you guys have created the conditions within your school that not only allow kids to thrive, but you're welcoming families and families that let's be honest, right now in Chattanooga, don't often feel welcome. And so I want to say thank you for Lindsay, what you've been doing, what you guys have done to build those just deep relationships. I love the story about the brothers. I've got two older brothers. Unfortunately, I was at the bottom, right? And they were better than I was. So I was the one that the teachers didn't want to see, but those family connections are big. So thank you for joining us today and what you're doing here at Clifton Hills to build really strong connections with kids.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the podcast here at Hixson High School. We intentionally wanted to come to Hixson because Hixson over the past number of years has done an incredible job of really holding true to our academic press and personalization framework of making sure that kids academically are moving in the right direction. But what we believe is the foundation of that is personalization and relationships. So here with former principal, Dr. Lee Ziegler. Lee, you mind introducing yourself and tell us about your time at Hixson?
Yes. My name is Lee Ziegler. I came here during COVID. That was my first year, and I was able to be here 5 years. Probably the highlight of my career so far in education would be the principal of Hixson High School.
Hello, I am Shante Daniels. I am the Freshman Academy Administrator, and I'm going into my third year here at Hixson High School.
Hello, my name is Ms. McDaniel, and I kind of started as a Northside employee, and now I'm an employee of the school.
I'm Jeremy McPherson, and I'm an ambassador here at Hixson High School, and I am a senior.
Hixson, I think it is one of the schools that's steeped in tradition in Hamilton County. But Lee, when you came here, I know that you committed, especially at the beginning of COVID, but throughout your 5 years of really making sure that you operationalize connecting with kids. Talk a little bit about what you believe about connections and how you implemented that at Hixson.
Yeah. First of all, I was not a good student myself when I go back to my high school career. And so I do know that the teachers that I responded the best to were the ones that took the time to build relationships in a classroom and kind of that warm demander, you know, just holding us to high standards, but at the same time, building those connections with us to let us know that they cared about us. And so when I came here as a principal, or even when I was at Daisy as a principal there, it was very important for me to build relationships with my students and emphasize to my teachers that the best way that they can connect and get their kids to grow and be productive in their classroom was through a connection, through a relationship. And so part of that was making sure I had hired the right people in the right position. And she's one of those that when I got the opportunity to hire another assistant principal, it was important to me to hire someone that was able to build connections with kids and just to emphasize that to my teachers as well.
When you would interview, was that part of the interview process?
Very much part of our interview process. And same thing with Ms. McDaniels. When I had the opportunity to hire her as a school community coordinator, that was part of our interview too, is how do you build connections with kids? And when she came to me and said, hey, I want to be an ex-ed teacher in your building, I jumped at that opportunity because we saw through a year of her being here, she was very good at building connections with kids. And we know that's kids only learn from people that they have a connection with. That's very important to me. Yeah.
Sure. Jamie, so you're a senior. We talked a little bit earlier. You going to be looking to go to UTC and major in chemical engineering, which kind of blows my mind. I don't get the chemistry part, so that's super impressive. You're a senior, though. You've been involved in a lot. Talk about the 4 years that you've been here and what you feel like has been the most connecting experience that you've had as a student.
I would say the most connecting experience I had was when I was a junior, getting to help all the freshmen, you know, with their classes and helping them just get to know everybody, especially if they were new. My hardest time, though, was my freshman year. I didn't have any, like, mentor. I didn't really know a lot. I was sort of new to the school. I'd went to the middle school. But I had failed, like, I failed one class. I had, like, 3 D's. And it was just a bad year. So when I heard my sophomore year that there would be an ambassadorship for the freshmen, I signed up.
Talk to me a little bit more, like, as an ambassador, what did you do that you felt like really helped freshmen connect?
Definitely the circle times and connections. Just talking to them about, you know, like, silly things like, how was your weekend? What'd you do? What's your favorite chip? Whatever your favorite snack is. It just helped build connection, and I think it helped a lot of them. I even started a band.
What's the best song y'all play? Is it like 80s rock, or is it? Awesome. Good. Shante, so running the Freshman Academy.
Yes.
And we just heard Jamie talk about, you know, he struggled a little bit of freshman year. I'm a firm believer as a former high school principal that, like, freshman year, you've got to get kids. If you don't get them early, you're going to be playing catch up the rest of the time. What are some of the things as you're leading the Freshman Academy that you're doing to make sure that the kids are connected and get off to a good start?
Yes. So, like what Dr. Ziegler said, he was very intentional about choosing the right person for the job. I've truly enjoyed my experience here as the Freshman Academy administrator. We have a lot of things in place. One is them having their own freshman counselor. Our CE coach also had the ambassadors come in and be mentors for the Freshman Academy. And like you said, Dr. Robertson, there's research that says if freshmen fall behind in their freshman year, they are highly likely to drop out and not graduate on time. And so we have teens up there. You know, the biggest difference between eighth grade and ninth grade is 2 months. And so there's a lot of preparation and a lot of things that they need to learn, like how to walk in the hallway. And, you know, we submerge them. Our lunchtime is with seniors and juniors. And so they kind of see the behaviors of the upperclassmen. So they know how to behave and do what is expected and what high school looks like. Along with teaming, we meet weekly to talk about the data. We call it the BAG, which is behavior, attendance, and grades. And we look at the data on our tier one students, our tier two, and our tier three. And we put those additional supports. We link in the counselor, the social worker, the CE coach, making those parent contacts, those conferences, We put them in our after-school program if they need that additional support. I mean, it's just really heavy hands-on. And like Jamie said, the ambassadors have really helped with that, because sometimes with freshmen, it sounds better coming from a peer, a student, than coming from all of the adults. So
how do you choose the ambassadors?
So we really want to focus on the students that have shown a natural leadership. It's not really based on like the highest GPA. It's not based on the most popular football player, basketball star. It gives other students that have strengths the opportunity to also be in a leadership role. And so it's character based. We do recommendations from teachers. And there's an interview process with us as well as Ms. McDaniel and our C coach, or prior C coach before her amazing promotion, Ms. Herbert Height. And they have to write an essay on why they want to be an ambassador. And so we take all of that into account when it comes to choosing them.
Okay. Ms. McDaniel, you've had a couple of different roles at Hixson, right?
Yes.
And worked with our ex-ed students, now kind of working on that like connection overall. What are your thoughts on the importance of creating a community of belonging and the conditions where students can thrive?
Well, I think relationships is where it's at. It's the basis of everything. And I see it with ambassadors, and I see it with SPED kids, and I see it with regular kids. So when I go into a classroom, I'm not just zeroing in on those kids. I'm zeroing in on all kids. One thing that Shantae does, it's amazing, though I'm trying to do better, is she knows everyone's name. And I think that first name is huge for kids. So when I came in, we did kind of an alignment of self-care. It was the social worker. It was myself as Northside. It was the C coach. It was the instructional coach. And our administrators, our counselors, we just decided that we were going to go to work on barriers, and we were going to wrap ourselves around these kids, and we were going to remove the barriers. And he removed barriers in classrooms doing circles, which was astounding to me that these kids were reaching out and they were taking care of the barriers. And all we had to do was just a little push, didn't we? So that's kind of where my role has been. I kept the ambassadors because we had such a good connection, and he wanted a student voice, and we needed a student voice, and I just couldn't give them up. So both principals have allowed me to stay a part of them.
Let me push a little bit. I have thought for a number of years Hixson's been innovative in how we serve our students with disabilities. Years ago, this may be even before Dr. Ziegler got here, and I can't remember what we called the program, but you guys were connecting a senior that had some flexibility in their schedule to go and pair with a student in biology class or in English to provide some one-on-one, but that created connections. Talk a little bit about the impact for our students with disabilities that y'all's approach to this has made.
So one of the things we really wanted out of the ambassadors was to mirror our population at Hixson. So we absolutely have students with disabilities that are ambassadors. So that's the first thing. And then last year, I personally had a student that had some medical issues that were very significant, and I had an ambassador that had the same condition.
Wow.
So they met once a week and had like a, and it, I mean, she just blossomed into this person because this senior took ownership of her. So that's more of where we're going with the ambassadors. We want to connect them with certain kids. Kids with disabilities, kids with language barriers, kids with barriers, and meet with them one-on-one more. So we're kind of going a little away from circle, which Jamie loves circle, but in putting them one-on-one with some students.
Can I speak to what you're talking about? Yeah, we still have that program, and I'm drawing a blank on it, or they still have the program. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but we have an adapted PE class as part of that. Where they get...
Tell what an adaptive PE class. I don't know. So listeners may not know what that is.
So the adaptive PE class is for some of our ex-ed students that have higher needs. And so what they do is they pair those ex-ed students with some of the general students that we have in the building that want to be in there. And they're kind of like a mentor or a pal with them. and they have a PE class, but they're in there to help those ex-ed students in that PE class, and they make a connection with them in that PE class. And so one of our PE teachers runs that and has been doing it since I've been here. I think before I got here, that's what you were talking about.
Yep.
Can't remember the name of that, but we still do that program in development.
So, Dr. Ziegler, you came to Hixson during the pandemic, which I think everybody would probably agree was one of the hardest times to help kids create connections. You changed some things, but I always thought that your leadership could have been defined by creating a community. Like, you wanted Hixson to be a community. What, from an academic standpoint, obviously you did a ton to create that community. From year one to year five, do you feel like you saw academic outcomes as a result of creating that sense of community?
Well, most definitely. You know, one of the things that I did when I got here, and Danny over there was part of this process, but we developed what we called our core values about the same time that Hamilton County was developing theirs. And community was one of our core values. And we wanted to push that down to all the schools that feed into Hixson High School. So we reached out to Hixson Middle, Hixson Elementary, but also the other elementary schools that feed in here, and just said, we're community schools. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, because we've done such hard work around that, and the faculty here is fabulous about this. They have bought into it, never pushed back on this idea whatsoever, that we are a community in this building. And because we're our community, we're here to support you. And I think because of that and some of the hard work around academics that Danny's responsible for, and some of the work that these two have done as well, our academics have blossomed as well. So we've done very well here. Level five pretty much every year. Proficiency is high. So we're doing really good here at Hixson High School. But I think because of the work around community has pushed that success.
Can I speak to community?
100%.
When he brought me on, that was one of his big goals. He wanted to get out into the community. And one of the really cool things that come to my mind is we have a community member who is will pay for caps and gowns if that's an issue, or if they can't afford their fees for a sport. He would never want his name to be known, which I love about him. But that's some of the connections we made out in this community. So by making those, they came into our building and they believed in Hixson. And I think that was one of my funnest, best roles, was doing that for Dr. Z's vision of community.
Ms. Daniels, what does that look like for freshmen?
So first and foremost, I would just like to say the Wildcat family here, we are such a beautiful, diverse melting pot of everyone and all walks of life. And I think the biggest thing is every student having someone, an adult in this building that they trust, an adult in this building that knows their story, that is very intentional with getting to know them and providing that support around those barriers. The community here, they want to be involved. It's like, just let us know what you need. And the meetings took place. Dr. Ziegler, our community coordinator, Ms. McDaniel at that time, we will all come together. We will meet, discuss our needs, and reach out to the community. And they were more than willing to give to meet those needs and remove those barriers from those students. And I think, our counselors, as well as myself, we communicate with the middle school and the middle school counselors and administrators. So we try to make the transition from eighth grade across the sidewalk walk over here to high school as smooth as possible. And so we are really connected to the middle school.
Jamie, senior year coming up, big year, right? You excited about it?
I'm a little excited. It's going to be really busy. Yeah. I'm in AP chemistry, so it's going to be a lot of work. Yeah. I'm also in, I'm in another AP class, and then SDC Free Cal, so it's going to be a lot of heavy lifting. But
yeah, good. What advice would you give to us in leadership roles, really trying to help create connections for kids? What advice would you give to us in terms of how we can do better at making that happen?
I would say using what you're good at to help them. Like when I was pastor, when I was an ambassador, I told them, you know, if you need any help with math or science, I'm your guy. If you have English troubles, don't come to me. I'm not there to answer. But if just being there and using what you have in your mind and skills to help them grow to that.
So kind of make the connections natural.
Yeah.
Not force them.
Yeah.
Good. So as we're closing up this segment, and again, want to reemphasize coming to Hixson, it's because you guys have done such a great job over the past 5 years of creating that community, and then our belief that it leads to academic achievement, right? Academics have gotten better, growth's gotten better. What have we not hit on that is important for the community to know about our commitment to creating connections for kids?
I think also attendance. When there is student belonging, when they feel that this is a safe place, it also improves the chronic absenteeism. Our attendance rate goes up as well.
Yeah.
And just a phone call. I know when I was in my other role, they would just hand me a list of 10 kids to call. And that meant a lot to the parents that somebody called them.
When it's not something bad too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just sweet as your kid. Yeah.
One thing that we've worked on the last couple of years, more so than the first three that I was here, is making connections with the parents and letting them know that they're welcome in our building. And then we want to hear from them as well, because if they feel good about us, they feel good about their children coming here. And so we just want to continue that work of making the connections. And I know Dan Lunt, the new principal here, feels the same way I do about all this. And so he's going to continue that work that we put out.
We're excited about him being here. When we were going through that interview process, one of the things that I was most concerned about was finding someone that had that same vision of obviously high academic standards, but again, the belief that the foundation of that is relationships, right? And so we're excited about what he's going to do here at Hixson. I love Hixson High School. What I think is so neat about it is you walk around and Jamie, I don't know if you've looked on the walls for the Hall of Fame of how many different people that are in leadership positions in our community have come through Hixson. I think about, you know, former Mayor Jim Coppinger. I think he may have played a little bit of quarterback here at some point, but people like that have walked these halls and gone on to lead our community. And I think for them, when you talk to them, it's the connections, you know, it's, you know, playing on the football team or being involved in a rock band that recently got started. So I appreciate what you guys do here at Hixson. Jamie, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure this was nerve-wracking for you. Maybe we can get you in something to play that favorite rock song. You talk to the band and make it happen.
I'm going to talk to them this Friday.
All right. Bye. Good. Thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate what you do at Hixson to create the conditions of belonging for our kids in Hamilton County.
Thank you for this opportunity.
All right, so welcome back. Sitting here with our two longest-serving board members, board chair Joe Smith, vice chair Kritza Mosley-Jones. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
So glad to be here.
We're talking about personalization, our commitment to student belonging, making connections with kids. Thought about you two for a couple of reasons. Number one, you've seen a real shift in the district over both of your now going on 10 years for both of you, a little bit over 10 years. So you've seen that shift, but also in your personal lives, like you guys have lived this in your work and in your ministries, connecting with people, building relationships to move them in a positive direction. So talk a little bit just about, from y'all's perspective, what does personalization mean for us as a school system? What does it help? How does it help move our kids forward?
Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Well, I always like the value of personalization and providing that in Hamilton County School, because it lets a student know, I feel like we let students know that what they need to be successful, be it academically or socially or whatever, that we're trying to, we want to hear that from them. We see them, we value them, and we want to make sure that we're providing that as best we can in that space for them in their learning environment. Because everybody's unique. Everybody's coming home from a different household. Everybody's coming from a different community. And even within the same community, sometimes there are just a lot of differences, right? And so
making sure that we are able to support those students as they are learning academically by personalizing things and making sure that they feel like they belong in that space.
Ms. Jones is absolutely correct. You know, I often think about just how big Hamilton County is. And I'm not just talking about the number of students, but geographically, we're the biggest school district in terms of square miles in the state. So given that fact, then you've got kids that are from all kinds of different backgrounds. And so if they're from all kind of backgrounds, then obviously they're presenting with, just like you said, all kinds of different needs. And so I think it's very important that the public school system, whether it be this county or any county, be poised to meet needs that are often multifaceted and very complex. And that's what we have here in Hamilton County. And I know that Ms. Jones and I have too, our life has been to try to figure out a way in our maladaptive way sometimes to meet those tremendous amount of varying needs.
I always talk about the county, and it's easy to show a distinction between, let's say, Signal Mountain and where we are right now, Clifton Hills. People don't realize, I always talk about Sell Creek and Lookout Valley. There are differences across schools that look very similar like demographically, but the needs and the communities are different. What does it mean? Like when we say connected, sometimes I think when we use things like well-being, it creates like some tension for people. When we say connected, though, to me, what we're saying is we want our adults to know our kids. We want our families to be part of the school and their community. What does it mean for y'all when we just talk about connecting someone?
Well, when I hear connected, not just even with the school system, just in general, when I think of the word connected, it means a relationship, a bond, a tie to another person, thing, object, whatever, right? And so I feel like in the school system, in Hamilton County, when we want our students to feel connected, we want our staff to feel connected, right? We want our parents to feel connected. We want our partners to feel connected. We want our governing and leadership to feel connected. We want everyone that is in some shape, form, or fashion in the fabric of Hamilton County Schools to know that their thread in the fabric matters and is significant. And without my thread, your thread isn't, you know, it's not going to survive. Our students, you know, everybody, we all tie together to make this beautiful quilt, right? But we have to know that we each bring something different and unique to that. And because I bring that and you bring yours, then we're making something even beautiful. There's a song, and I'm going to be quiet, but there's a song that our church sings, and it's by Hezekiah Walker, but it's like, I need you, you need me, we're all a part of God's body, stand with me, agree with me, you know, all this is, and it's, I need you to survive. And when I think connected with Hamilton County Schools, I think that we each, no matter what our roles is as stakeholders in this system, we each need each other for Hamilton County Schools to survive.
So true. It's important that our kids develop those relationships with the teachers. And it's also important that the teachers develop relationships with their leaders.
Yeah.
And then those leaders develop relationships with you and your staff. And then just encouraging kids to step out on the waters of faith, for the lack of a better term, and try something different, try something new, even though it might be uncomfortable. That's what I try to push kids into. Let's get out of your comfort zone. Let's try this. It may not be for you, but you don't know if you like broccoli until you take a bite.
Or you don't know if you like Mr. Smith until you get to
right.
I think that's really, in this day and age in society, those connected pieces and relationships, we get so busy and hustle and bustle that people don't see the value of relationships. But I think back to my experience as a Hamilton County school student. I, in my age now, as a parent of a Hamilton County school student, I have relationships with my children's teachers and administration, but I still have relationships with my old principals and teachers and guidance counselors. I saw my old custodian last week. Like, Mr. Hester remembers me, and I remember him. And so I think the relationship matters because we care enough about each other. Our students should know that, vice versa. Our staff should know that. So, like, when our teachers are sick, as they've aged, we check on them. I'm sorry to hear that. Or if we have babies, oh, congratulations. Or you get them job promotion, oh, I'm so proud of you. I talk a lot. I have a teacher told me last week, I knew that math was going to take you somewhere. But it's just those relationships, right? That she saw beyond me just being a talkative teenager to say there's potential in her being able to use her words and her vocal skills to be something, right? And coming back to say that, not just, oh, I thought you were a menace, you just talk too much. No, I saw this potential in you, and I'm proud of you for that and the work that you do. Those relationships matter. And that's really important.
It is so, so important. And, you know, it's not always comfortable for us as leaders. So when we're encouraging kids to get out of their comfort zone, sometimes we need to, you know, I need somebody, Mr. Joe, get off your blessed assurance and go love on somebody. And that's so important.
Right. So got a couple minutes. I'm getting the wrap it up sign, but I've got to ask you guys both. You again mentioned longest tenured board member, second longest tenured board member. You guys have over 20 years combined experience on the school board. I think that I think the school system was in a very different place when you both came onto this board. Looking back at your time, what would you say you're most proud of? Like, you're most proud to see improvement or change, like, in your time on the board?
I think for me, when I came on, soon be 10 years, we were, you know, it had some things that have gone on in the district that were real uncomfortable and unfortunate, and right in the middle of dealing with all that. And shortly, not too long after that, we had the bus tragedy, and it just seemed like it's just been one kind of episode after another. But in the middle of all that COVID and all that craziness, man, I'm proud of what Hamilton County has done. And not only to stabilize ourselves in the midst of chaos, but to improve. And we're a much better school system. The thing that I enjoy the most, and that I think is so important that we're doing, is giving our kids pathways through the future ready. Because every kid's not a college student. And, you know, I wasn't a college student. You know, I learned on the streets. And every kid's not going to be a college student. But given these different pathways where we can nudge kids and doing stuff that they love to do, I'm very proud of that.
That's a personalization piece, right? So
I'm just most proud of us being resilient. Like Mr. Smith said, I have seen Hamilton County go through some things, some triumphs and some tragedies, and we have survived them.
Yeah.
And come back better. I feel like bounce back better every time. Most proud of the resiliency. Most proud of us being one of the fastest improving districts in the state of Tennessee. Oftentimes, and people can say data shows what you want it to show, but what we do know is that in a lot of capacities, we outperform the state at a certain level. Yeah. I'm very proud to be, like, that makes me proud to say, well, yeah, but Tennessee is here. So, like, you're saying this about Hamilton County, but look at where the state is with that, right? And we supersede the state. And so not always big accomplishments, but it's just the small things. And I feel like getting people and getting students in buildings that are beautiful and safe and aesthetically pleasing, letting them know that they matter there. But then where we can't do that, just being able to meet other needs and rising above the noise.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the noise gets crowded in the community, but just rising above that to say, yeah, all that static, but this is what's really going on in Hamilton County Schools, and great things are going on and great students are coming out of Hamilton County Schools prepared for whatever life has for them.
I appreciate y'all's leadership. People don't realize how much you work as a school board member and how much stress the weight that you carry as a leader on the school board.
I do not have.
So I want to say thank you for that. But most of all, thank you for your connections, like the ministry that you've done through YCAP, Jabbing for Jesus, the ministries that you've done in your work of connecting kids in Chattanooga and making sure that our schools are a hub for our communities. That's super, it's meaningful. It's meaningful work. So I want to say thank you. Thank you to our listeners again. You're on the second episode.
We're pretty important.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I told the first, the team's been trying to get me to do this for a year and a half or so. It's actually been way more fun than I thought it would be. So hopefully we'll get some more listeners. I've got to remind you, you can listen to Let's Talk HES on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcasts. If you have a topic or a good idea for discussion, please send that to hcscommunications@hcde.org.
We'll see you back in 2 weeks for a deep dive episode on school facilities.